Knives, machetes, saws, and shears. Multi-tools, shovels, swords, axes, spears, hatchets, and tomahawks. If it cuts, snips, slices, or chops, Midway USA has it. Find great gift ideas in our huge selection of pocket knives and other everyday carry folding knives. Make a statement or create a family legacy with one of our top-of-the-line hunting knives. We've got a great selection of manual and electric sharpeners, too. For just about everything for the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
Boat Trader, America's largest boating marketplace, offering easy financing and over 100,000 boat listings to choose from. Sell, find, and finance new or used boats on America's largest boating marketplace. Visit BoatTrader.com to get started.
And welcome to another edition of Dock Talk, All-American Kayak Series podcast. What's happening, folks? Hey, man, so we're continuing on our line of angler interviews here. Just a chance to kind of introduce you to some of the core players, some new players, this and that. These are anglers that have been with the All-American Kayak Series or around the series, if you will. This guy we have today, man, super, super excited. Had a chance to meet this OG at one of the a couple of the events that we fished together. I think it was Okoboji. I believe we chatted for a while last season here. And I'll tell you what, not only is he one of the original, you know, just core members out there in the kayak fishing community, he's one of the best human beings I've had the pleasure to meet and encounter. So let's bring the homie in here. Today we have with us Mr. Andy Moore. What's happening, Andy?
How you doing? I'm doing great, man. Just kind of stuck in the middle here in Nebraska. I'd really be loved to be walking on water right now, but I'm looking out my door and there's open water. So I'm a little sad, but you know, I make the best of it. I'm going to probably fish a little bit in the kayak when we're done with this, but I'd honestly be rather walking on water right now in December. But
so you're an ice guy too then.
Oh man. Yeah. That's honestly, if I had to choose, I'd probably be ice fishing over open water. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm a huge ice head.
That's awesome.
Sucks because I'm in Nebraska, so I'm on the southern edge of the ice belt, so I'm cursed. But I travel. Hey, I'm entertaining coming down to you. And I love fishing Antero. I love fishing Clear Creek, and I love chasing the lake trout down there. But I may go north here in a weekend, or I may just chill and get some stuff done. I don't know, man. It's just it's hard not to fish, and it's just kind of right in that spot where I'm lucky if I can get 2 months here, but I'm kind of think I may be traveling here in the next week or so just to get that itch scratched.
Dude, I feel you, man. I was sitting here trying to piece something together. You know, I'm not totally ready to strip the yak down and go through the you know, year-end maintenance where I do some welding on it, you know, and clean up scratches and everything. And I'm not ready for that.
And clean up scratches.
Oh yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, dude. I actually do.
You should see my kayak, man. It's war.
Make no mistake. I didn't say I was good at cleaning them up. Okay. But any big gouges or anything, you know, I try to clean that up during my downtime.
Character. Come on. It gives a little charm, man.
Dude, that's because you're in shape, man. I need every like slick advantage I can get because I got a lot of gravity in my ass my yak down.
Yeah, yeah. You and Tyler Cole. Hey, we talked about that earlier. That's what trucking does to you, Tyler. Now, you know, right? put those donuts and breakfast biscuits down, buddy. Get on that treadmill. And the trolling motor. That's what the trolling motor did to you, buddy.
See, I'll take any association with that dude right now. If it's, you know, if it's our belt lines or whatever, he's still in better shape than I am.
True. Yeah, right. Probably. I don't know. No, I don't know. It would be a tough one.
Right, right. No, man, it's, you know, it's one of those things with the, I don't even know what the hell we were just talking about here. You totally derailed me.
Sorry. I'm good at derailing hosts. Sorry, man. I think you just said, how's it going?
Where I was going with this is I'm not ready to, you know, finish everything out yet, but the closest body of water that we can go fish, like where I'm at out here, in all honesty, that's worth you know, the trip and the effort is about 2.5 hours away. You know, we got to run down to Pueblo Rez. Just because everything else up here, I mean, yeah, you can go to this place, you can go to that place, and you can, you know, celebrate the 10-inch fish, this and that. I'm good, man. I'm good. Yeah. I don't need to go out and freeze for that, you know?
No, I'm with you. I hear you. But I mean, it's all relative to me. Doesn't matter. If I want to fish, I'll fish. I'll go hit these little, they stock some of these little ponds in Omaha, little stocker trout. I'll just go over lunch and get the itch out and catch a little 10-inch.
I was going to say,
good. You just have to downsize your gear. You know?
Oh, yeah.
That's all.
Oh, trust me. I'm in Colorado. I'm used to that.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah.
I was just telling a story last night when I was interviewing a guy, and one of the best things, one of my real, real good buddies of the show, of the True Patriot Outfitters, and my friend Josh Deal fishes Bassmaster and Hobie. He's a giant of human beings, like 6'7", you know, 290 pounds, 300 pounds. Big human being. And he and I are staying at an Airbnb. We were fishing Pickwick a couple of years ago. We're staying at an Airbnb together, and I'm underneath the carport and I'm rigging my stuff. He gets all done. He comes over and he's looking over my shoulder and he's looking at the size of the tackling gear that's in my rod locker. And he's like, "Do you really fish with that size of tackle?" And I'm like, Hey, Georgia guy. Yeah. We in Colorado do have to fish with this.
Yeah. Get out your reading glasses when you tie in a size 25 nymph, buddy.
Dude, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah. You're not going to be able to thread that 6-pound test or that little eyelet.
No.
Yeah.
No, dude, it's he's from Georgia, you know, they're slinging half and 3/4 ounce, jigs.
No clue for
dinks, you know.
Yeah. No clue.
We're downsizing everything out here to put it together.
It's
a big difference when it's readily available, right? I mean, when the access to the water is super close, it's so nice, man. You can get out, you can go do things. I lived in an area of Minnesota there for a little bit where, you know, the river was only like 45 minutes away. It wasn't that big of a deal, you know? So it was like, boom, I could be on the Mississippi. I was fishing lacrosse, you know, the pools up there, you know, quite a bit.
Nice.
And so it was a lot easier for sure.
Yeah. Kind of sucks being in Omaha. I mean, all the lakes in the metro area, I mean, ebb and flow, you know, summer, one's really good 1 year, you know, so there's always one or two that you can go and do really well at. Some of the old ones, if you know them, you can always go. I mean, heck, like 3 weeks ago, I almost put up 100 inches in an Omaha metro lake, you know? So it's just I mean, it can be crazy, but you got to know, you know, I mean, I've fished these lakes for like 50 years. So it's just, you got to know, but you know, it's just, it's hard. I mean, if you really want to have a decent, you know, I got to go 2 or 3 hours too, you know, if I really want to get a decent bite.
You know, and what is it in the water out there? Because, I mean, in the kayak community specifically, Nebraska, man, has produced some hammers. Holy Moses. You guys have been making, you know, waves out there, making noise there's you, there's Marty, there's Christine, there's Brady, there's, you know, 6 other guys that I'm horrible with names that I keep forgetting, but that are from, you know, the Nebraska area that are on the national scene and, you know, and tearing things up. It just, it's part of, what is it, a way of life? Is it in the water? What the hell is it?
I think a lot of it is just being, you know, growing up in Nebraska, you're born into the outdoors. You know, although Marty, I think, is from California. So I don't know how I don't know his story completely, how he was immersed in the outdoors. But like me and a lot of these Nebraska guys, we've been fishing since we were born, you know, and having the disadvantage of the lakes we have here really makes us honestly better anglers. You know, if you gotta seriously go break down these mud holes in Omaha, I mean, a lot of them are just crap, you know, but you find a way and you're like fishing a dead sea and you figure it out and you're just the challenge and it drives you. And a lot of us are multi-species fishermen here too, you know, so that I honestly think that's plays a huge role in it too. Like I've chased every single species there is probably, you know, and when I was probably 10 or 12, you know, and when Bassmasters took off and bass and all that stuff, you know, and the Bass Pro Shop catalog would come and you're like 10 or 12 and it's just, then you kind of get towards the cool guys bass fish, you know? So then I had the bait caster and all that, but I think a lot of it just, we're just immersed in the outdoors at an early age. You know, we had fathers, grandfathers, So we're always fishing or hunting, you know, so we just get really good at it over the years. If you stick with it, you know, and fishing's my passion. That's who I am, you know. I mean, and then, you know, I've introduced my boys and my girls and my sons, a huge fisherman now. He loves hunting. Like he's hunting right now, and I might go fishing after this, you know? So he's in the fall, we separate, 'cause I don't really hunt anymore after my dad died. I don't know. It was just weird, man. And honestly, as the older I get, it's harder for me to kill stuff. I don't know. That's just kind of a weird thing. But I think as we evolve as humans, obviously nothing against it. It's a huge tradition in my family, but sure. I just prefer the kind of the more peaceful quietness of fishing versus the explosions and the death and the killing and all that. You know, I mean, I still do it. You know, I'll still do opening day with him. But so in the fall, we separate when the ice is thick. We hook back up, because then you can't really duck hunt here anymore because everything's frozen unless you're fishing and or hunting in the fields and stuff. But yeah, man, I just think that, you know, in Iowa too, Iowa guys are, it's just like Nebraska, Iowa has some really, really, really good anglers. And I just think that's the main reason, because there's like, you know, a lot of these guys that I fish on these tournaments with, they're like, yeah, I just started fishing like 5 or 10 years ago, you know, and I'm just like thinking, oh, wow. I'm way ahead of the curve in that. I seriously caught my first fish at like a year and a half old, you know, 2 years old, you know. So you just figure it out. And when you're young like that, you know, a fish is a fish. It doesn't matter what it is, you know, bullhead,
bluegill, sunfish, gateway fish.
The carp was for me, because when we were kids, we had this duck pond. We'd ride our bikes down there, and it's like, the biggest fish of the lake was a carp, you know. We tried to catch that carp, and it fought. You know, you hooked into that thing, it'd spool us, it'd break our line. You know, we'd be stealing bacon and corn out of mom's, you know, refrigerator and cupboard. Yeah,
canned corn. You could get it for 32 cents at the grocery store.
Oh, yeah.
And you had bait for days, man.
Unfortunately, my mom bought cream corn. So we had a raid my friend's. You know, he had the good white, the good Jolly Green Giant corn. Yeah, so that was good. So I couldn't, you know, my mom's got this cream corn crap, and I'm just like, you can't even put that stuff on a hook. You know, we chummed with it, but
I was gonna say you could chum. Yeah, that's about
we chummed with it, but yeah, no, the bacon and the corn, man. Yeah, so yeah, growing up, man, I didn't care what it, if a fish was a fish, you know.
Yeah, totally. No, that's the way it is. You know, it's the love of getting out there. I remember the first fish I ever caught on an artificial lure. It was this tiny little swim bait, about yay big with a jig, you know, built into it. Little shad color, had no clue what I was doing. I'm standing on the bank. I throw right out, you know, in the dead set middle of the lake, and I'm rolling this thing back with my Zebco 33. Yep. And all of a sudden I feel the front end of the pole whack. And I pull back and I start reeling this thing in. I brought a crappie in. Nice. And I'm telling you, you might as well have just shot me up with heroin at that point, because it was this thing took over my head. I'm like, what the hell? About four more casts, doink, did it again. Yep. And I'm like, I'm a freaking magician. This is amazing.
Yeah,
right. No corn, no worm, no minnow, no nothing. It was artificial, right?
Yeah. And so. Yep. You're the cool kid on the block with the artificials.
Telling you, man. It's like, shit, I was looking for that Bassmaster patch immediately, right?
Yeah.
I had one
at 12 years old. I had them all in my tackle box. I was using a bait caster, squirrel and nesting that thing day, you know, left and right, but I figured it out. Nowadays they're a lot easier to use. I mean, the ones I use, I love the Daiwa ones, man. They don't even backlash. I can sling that thing right into a wind and it won't backlash, but
Daiwa, yeah, that's, no. That's the name of the game.
Yeah, I love their reels, you know.
So let's talk about kayaks specifically. When did you first get into just, even if it was just recreational, but kayak fishing? When did you get into that, and how'd that come about?
So, you know, big boat guy. I used to guide a lot. I used to guide like high-profile people in Nebraska. I've guided admirals, you know, from SAC, and I've guided governors in Nebraska, politicians, doctors, very well-known people for years, like private guided trips. And then, you know, it was fun, but, you know, just kind of like, it kind of got old. So we kind of stopped doing that. And then, I canoed a lot. I love the canoe. So I don't know what it was about the canoe. It was just the primitive aspect of it, just the manpower of it, the paddling closer to the water. I can creep right into places, easy to transport, no gas, no nothing. I love that primitive aspect of fishing, you know, just get rid of everything but yourself, a rod and reel, and a flotation thing, whatever that was, which all was right, a canoe. So actually did a couple tournaments with Marty back in 2014 maybe, when he started a Kayak Palooza, and I asked, can I use a canoe? He's like, sure, you can use a canoe. So use the canoe and everything, and then you know, all this, the kayak was kind of getting big. I'm like, oh, this is kind of cool, you know, and the Hobie really wasn't a thing back then. It was like the, you know, the Old Town Predator, the paddle ones. And then Hobie came out, you know, with this drive thing, you know, I'm just like.
Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to Tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Yeah, I never get one of those. I'm a purist. I'm going to paddle. I'll never use a foot one. Well, I had to get a knee replacement in 2012 or 13, I think. So I couldn't use my boat. I couldn't stand up and use a trolling motor. I couldn't stand, you know. So I was like, well, how am I going to fish? You know, so, okay, I'm going to get a kayak. So I had a friend, Tom Fisher. He had this old Predator paddle kayak. And I'm like, perfect. I freaking fell in love with it. You know, I can fish. I don't have to worry about my knee or whatever. Right. So it was just a total natural progression for someone like me who's very simple. I don't like a lot of hoopla. I don't like all the gadgetry. I don't like all the
minimalist
technology. Very, very minimalist. I don't like, you know, I grew up in the 70s, so we went outside and blew stuff up and built forts, you know. It's like, you know, and then we burned the forts down, but hope we didn't get in trouble. But, you know, so it's just a natural progression for me, and it was just at the perfect time because I got that knee replacement. Well, you know, my doctor was like, part of your rehabilitation is, you know, the recumbent bike, the biking, which is kind of like that. And I'm just thinking, okay. And I'm like, well, maybe I'll try a Hobie. Well, my friend Tom Fisher, I just mentioned, had an extra Hobie, and I qualified for the Tournament of Champions in 2015 or 16. And he brought it, and I brought my Predator. He's like, just try it. Just try the Hobie. I'm like, no, I'm not doing the pedal thing. I'm a paddler. He's like, Lake Fork's pretty big, Andy. You're more than welcome to paddle with us, because I had the Workman brothers were there, all three of them, Josh, Kevin, Caleb, and then Tom and I, we all qualified. And they all had the Hobies. You know, Kevin was on the Hobie team at the time. I think Caleb was. Josh may have been too. Right. So I'm like, okay, I'd really look stupid. You guys have all these Hobies, you know, and I had fished a couple of tournaments against Hobie guys, and I'm at a huge disadvantage paddling. I mean, these guys, it's hands-free fishing. You know, they can – they're casting and pedaling, where I'm, you know, woo, woo, cast, twitch, twitch, woo, woo, you know, I was holding my own, you know, I'd won a few things and I was doing okay, but I'm just like, you know what, this is crazy. I really got to try this because I'm at a really big disadvantage. I'm going to have to swallow my pride, And because I was saying the Hobies aren't even kayaks, guys, they're paddle boats, you know, you're not even, you know, so I was ripping on that pretty good. But so, yeah, so at Lake Fork was my first time in this paddle thing, man. And I tell you what, it was awesome for my knee and it was awesome for me. And I still have that same kayak, you know, everyone's like, you're going to get a new one. I'm like, I don't need a new one. You know, that I have a pretty long history with this one. I love this kayak. It floats. There's nothing wrong with it. I mean, it's plastic welded. I've gone through the nose like 3 times hitting rocks. So there's holes but I plastic weld it, you know, and I get it by, you know, everything's great. But I tell you what, the rehabilitation for my knee and the Hobie and everything. It was just a natural progression for me. And I honestly don't think I'll go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say that the thing I love about this is hearing this, you know, this conversation about, cause you weren't alone in your thoughts about the initial Hobies when they came out, because, you know, the purest level of where kayaks began and the kayak fishing began, it was paddle, man. That was the name of the game. That's even for the sit in, the sit on, mm-hmm. regardless, you know, it was kayaking there. And so, yeah, when Hobie comes in and they introduce this like new whiz bang fangled, you know, drive system of theirs that just continues to evolve and get better and better. And the thing is ridiculously efficient.
Oh yeah.
So they were taking a beating, you know, from that core group. And now we had that same conversation took place from the guys that were pedaling with the motor guys. You know, they were looking at the motor. That's too far from this and this. You know, look at the same conversation in our sport from flasher to traditional sonar, mm-hmm. to forward facing.
It's crazy.
Every 10, 15, 20 years, we have something that evolves that comes
it's
in.
It's crazy.
And it too shall pass. And yeah. Something is going to replace it, you know?
Exactly. I don't know what, though, like more speed. But I mean, honestly, the evolution of fishing has blown me away because yeah. I've lived it. Seriously, I mean, I was born in 1970, so I have lived the evolution of fishing, you know, and it's just past 10 years, 5 years. It's just crazy.
I love interviewing guys older than me. This is so awesome, man. Thank you, Andy. I love you even more. I'm 72 and it's like 98% of the guys that I have on here are younger than me.
Like, yeah. 90s or whatever. Yeah.
I'm the pup. Yeah.
Well, you got more gray in your beards, but yeah, I'm getting there, man. The path.
Totally.
Yeah.
Looks like I sneezed in a bowl of powdered sugar or something.
Pretty much. I honestly thought you were older than me for that reason, but yeah. Okay.
Yeah. No, I had some old hayseed in Kansas at a gas station. He's like, so, you know, how long you been doing? He's looking at my truck, you know, with the wrap up and he's talking to me. How long you been doing this? You're like, what, in your early 60s? And I'm like, old man, just get the hell down the road. Because he was like in his 70s or something, you know?
Yeah, right. That's an insult.
I'm like, early 60s. How dare you? At the time, I had just turned 50. It ruined the drive the rest of my home.
I'd be pissed, man. That's a punch in the gut.
Yeah, I just sulked the whole way home. My wife looking at me like,
what happened? Did your dog die?
No, he just aged about 11 years. That's all.
In like a night. What? Yeah, that's how we stay young, man, and fish. And just, you got to get away from the rat race. And honestly, you know, I've worked my ass off for pretty much my whole life, and I've been kind of backing off a little bit and just realizing hey, to stay alive longer, I need to fish more. And that's a fact, man.
100%, dude. And that's the whole piece there. When, you know, that, so it's been a lifestyle. You've grown up around the stuff people don't realize you are one of those founding ambassador members of our sport, man, in the Midwest. You know, guys like you and Marty and James Francis and Josh Booth. I mean, you guys were really why the Midwest has representation across the entire nation. And you're right at the heart, of course, and the motivation for the All-American in mm-hmm. that the Midwest, the flyover states, we often get overlooked just because there's not as much big money to bring the big show, you know, up into here. So it takes us taking care of each other to put this, you know, this series on. It takes us all working together from Wisconsin, Minnesota, Iowa, Nebraska, Dakotas, Kansas, you know, Oklahoma, Missouri, Arkansas, all of us together, you know, to form what we get a chance. When was your first, if you remember, because you actually fished the Midwest fishing kayak series. Brady and I were talking about that. Yep. Select Sail was actually the sponsor of that, he's now part owner of, or actually owner of. And so, yeah, man, it was Josh Booth sent me a Tourney X result from 2018 on Wanahoo. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. Looking at that roster, I'm like,
Jordan Westerman was like a newbie. That was like his first tournament. You know, look at it now. Like, yeah.
Brady was like 15, 16. In
yeah,
that
he was like, that dude Christine. Started like, oh, yeah. So a funny story. So you asked about the Midwest Kayak Fishing Series. So like in Nebraska, we didn't have anything. We had nothing, you know, we had to travel. We had to do these multi-species tournaments. We had no actual bass circuit, you know, and then, so that's what the Midwest Kayak Fishing Series started as a multi-species tournament. So you'd have like the first month would be crappie month, second month would be catfish, and that, you know, so it was kind of cool. And then they, you know, I think, so I've been involved like forever, but I've kind of just like let it happen. I haven't like really like tried to, I've just let it evolve. That's just kind of who I am. I don't like take something by the, you know what, and run with it. I just let the younger guys do it, and I'll agree, disagree. I'll be loyal or not loyal. I'm pretty easy, but it was kind of a cool thing. Like, I think that, so like the Midwest Kayak Fishing Series, like our championship, like in like 2016, we're like, well, let's just have it your best five bass for the final. And then that was in 2017, I think. And I actually won that. So that was the first tournament I ever won. And I won a new kayak from Select Sail and Sports and Outback. So I won it in 2017. And I had just learned drop shotting the season before at Lake Fork. So that tournament, I just drop shot. I slayed them. It was like a magical day when you like everything's going right, and I won it and won the kayak. And then so the next year, they all got together and we're getting rid of the multi-species and we're just making a total bass circuit. Like, you know, everyone like Hobie was and everyone else was. Other states were starting to do. So we finally, but it still wasn't, we still didn't have just enough Nebraska anglers to do it. So the Midwest Kayak Fishing Series in 2018 had Joshua Booth, had Tyler Cole, had Jordan Westerman, had all these guys from Iowa, had guys from Kansas, John Morse, you know, some of those guys. I don't think we had anybody from North Dakota, but we had guys from Missouri, Iowa, Nebraska. So it was kind of like the predecessor to the All-American in a way.
It was, 100%.
That's why, yeah, and that's kind of why when Midwest Kayak Fishing Series went away, I gravitated towards the All-American. I'm like, that is so freaking cool because it's the same guys I fished with and against.
Yep.
Cool guys, blue, you know, it's hardworking, normal, good guys, good fishermen. And it was a circuit that would be centered, you know, more Midwest, because this Hobie stuff, man, I could do it, but do I really want to drive 20 hours to a tournament? No.
Right.
And so the All-American was just, once again, just this natural evolution for Andy, just like the kayak, just right. I just slipped right on in and I'm like, you know what? I'm all in. I'm supporting this. I'm supporting Joshua. I'm going to hopefully, you know, if I can, people see that I love it and fish it hard, bring more people in. I think if you have, you know, but, it's hard because now there's so much going on now. You know, there's just so many tournaments to fish, but I think this one is obviously the premier event in the Midwest, obviously, you know, besides our state circuits. But that's me, man. I'm totally loyal to Styx, you know, Nebraska circuit from the start, and I'm totally loyal to All-American Kayak Series and the Classic, you know. So
yeah. Well, you know, and that's at the heart of it. There's so, like you said, there's so many local and regional options that are out there now. And bless Marty Marty Hughes got a Facebook group out there where he kind of tries to put all the schedules together to kind of make sense out of it for people to see. You know, but when it does come to the ability as far as with an angler focus, angler centric focus, high payouts, fun, good times. I mean, that's really what this 24 season's about. Josh, Troy, and I have been, you know, countless hours hash and cuss and discuss and figuring out ways to really separate us. We're comfortable with the fact that the All-American's not a pro circuit. We don't want to be. At the most, you know what would to me, in my personal opinion, look at us as like triple A's, man. If you can make it through this pretty field and have success, well, then you wouldn't be wasting your money trying to jump in the Bassmaster or Hobie.
No.
In all honesty, you know, I mean, it's awesome to go to those events and fish those because they're run really well and they've got some great guys there. But I mean, not for nothing, man. You're going against, you know, a group of people out there that this is all they do. And mm-hmm. they're putting hours and weeks on these bodies of water to where you're kind of just, you know, you're almost donating your money. You know, at least with the All-American, it's a pretty even field. Our waters aren't, you know, 22 hours away. I mean, I probably mm-hmm. drive the longest coming from Colorado because it's like, well, like Minocqua, that's a 16, 17 hour run.
Yeah, that's brutal. Yeah.
Kentucky but Lake is going to be, you know, yeah. but for Colorado, it's like, yeah, man, well, I'm just used to driving out here. But all in all, the point is that we try to make sure that we got, you know, the awards banquet's going to be a ton of fun, you know, lots of cool, you know, giveaways and swag and such, but also the networking, man, mm-hmm. hanging out with just some true anglers and good people and, you know, sharing stories, sharing information. It's one of the best parts that I've had is just meeting people involved out there.
Yeah.
Like you.
I mean, I beg to differ. I think that, you know, I think the anglers in the All-American could hold their own with any other circuit in the country.
I do too.
Yeah.
I just try to.
No, I hear you. And I also, you know, like me, I'm at somewhat of a disadvantage being in Nebraska because the All-American, we, you know, they're not doing Lewis and Clark anymore or really anything in Nebraska. So I'm going to get, you know, a lot of these Missouri guys, they, a lot of the lakes we fish are, they fish them a lot too, but I mean, I don't really care, but like the Hobie kind of the same thing. You know, you got regional guys that know the lakes really well in New York or Florida or whatever, but you got guys that go and win and look at Brady. I mean, he just won, he beat them all, you know? So it's like, I think the talent level is, I think it's kind of equal in every circuit. You know, you have a lot of guys jumping to each circuit, you know, but I think you do have a point with the All-American. If you do want to start, make that jump from a state level to a regional or, you know, national, I would consider All-American a regional, obviously.
At Midway USA, we know the AR-15 is one of the most popular rifles in modern American history. Known for its modularity and widespread use, it's often considered essential to any gun collection. The essential things you need to run an AR-15 are usually always in stock during shortages, things like magazines and 5.56 ammo. Whether you're looking to buy a new AR-15 or buy parts for your modern sporting rifle, log on and for just about everything for the outdoors, shop MidwayUSA.com. Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
It would be the perfect because, like you said, you know, you have, you know, lower entry fees, less travel time, and it's more adaptable for the working man. It's more adaptable for someone that's not in it 100%. You know, like Hobie, like you said, these guys are. That's all they do. They travel from one to the other, and they're fishing 5 days a week, 4 weeks a month. You know, it's nonstop, and which is fine. But as far as like talent. I would think talent kind of peaks out at a certain level. And then what's above talent is just knowledge of where you're fishing. Because the fish act differently wherever we go, you know, it's like in Texas, they act differently than they do in Nebraska. In Wisconsin, like the smallmouth were acting like largemouth bass there because they don't have that competition there with the largemouth. So they act differently there than they do in South Dakota. You have largemouth and smallmouth swimming together. So the smallmouth are pushed mostly offshore. You know, they'll come in to spawn, but they associate with deeper rock piles and stuff like that. And the largemouth on the shore, Monaco is freaking crazy because the smallmouth are like up like largemouth were. So I had a really I didn't quite get it at first. You know, I can't wait to go. I can't wait to go back because it really you get set in a mindset as an angler, like what's worked in the past, and you get driven into you like, okay, certain fish do certain things, you know. Well, yeah, That's not true. You know, everything's
depends
different
on where you're at in the country. Yeah,
exactly. So your talent as a fisherman, you know, is superseded by like your knowledge of what fish are doing in these different areas, you know. So,
well, you know, and it's right at the heart and of why I have always maintained the fact that we're as much a national series as Bassmaster and Hobie are, because when you look at the geographical area that we cover, it's actually broader than just about anybody. I mean, dude, we're going from nearly the upper peninsula of
almost
Michigan.
Canada.
We're up there at Minocqua, all the way to Texas. I mean, across the main thing we try to do is we're a little bit skinnier. We're branching into Kentucky this year, but that's not a normal, you know, maneuver. Maybe it will be. We'll see how that event goes.
We did 2 years ago. Yeah,
but about as far east as we go.
That's
right?
About as far east as that's as far east as Josh has gone, because I fished Kentucky Lake 2 years ago.
Yeah,
And I stayed in Paducah, and it was. I had a good time. And I did good. Yeah.
The biggest piece for us that we want to make sure of is that we have the emphasis on making it easier to fish with us, and make sure that we have an angler focus on this. That what we do at the awards isn't just about paying the bills for the sponsors. Yes, we're going to take care of them the way they take care of us, but in the same breath, though, without the angler support, we don't need a sponsor. You know what I mean? It's like the angler's got to be our first priority, and that's what we all talk about. Yeah, we all talk 100%. About trying to, and that's the cool thing too, is when you've got people that are competitive anglers that are running the stuff. I mean, Josh is an angler's angler. Troy competes. I still compete, you know, so it's, we know, and I, you know, we've got the guys that are, well, you had mentioned something about, you know, how the Missouri guys on some of our, you know, have a little bit of advantage on those. That was really one of the reasons why we're going to Okoboji, La Crosse, Minocqua. We want to spread this around, and then we're going to go all the way to Arkansas, and then we're going to Kentucky. You know what I mean? So it's like, we're trying to spread it around to really encompass everybody.
Yeah. But, and it's making me a better angler too. You know, I mean, I improve every year. You know, the more I do these, the more I travel, the more different lakes I fish, man, I'm way better than I was last year. You keep progressing, you keep learning, you know, and just like fishing these new lakes, you know, like I looked at the schedule, I'm like, oh, I wanted to go back to Palestine. I know that. But then I'm like, hey, it's cool. It's a new opportunity. It's a new lake to learn, you know? So
that was
awesome.
Was that two seasons ago that you went to Palestine and put on the show?
Yep. Yeah. And like freaking 28 degree. I didn't care. I was in my element, you know. It's just, it didn't faze me at all, but
that was a hard event. I heard, I didn't get a chance to fish it, but I heard that one mentally, tried a lot of guys and you pushed through.
Mentally it was for others, not me at all, because that's my roadhouse, man. I'm an ice fisherman. It was like I could fish in shorts and a t-shirt when it faced me, you know. But I'm really good at catching fish when no one else can, if that makes sense. Like just the subtleties, the finesse, the just really super focused on catching fish in tough conditions. And I think that goes back to like my friend and I in college. We would always be like, you wimp, you're not quitting. And it's like brutal out. We're like, and you're like, I'm, you know, so it was a total competition, and we weren't leaving until like I won or he won. And it's like 15 degrees and it's brutal. So I've always, I don't know, that just is kind of stuck with me, like just fishing in adverse conditions. I don't know. I love doing it. It just makes it like, It just kind of brings out like maybe my Viking heritage or something. I don't know. Just like, you know, like, bring it on, more wind, more snow. And then you catch a fish and you're just like, You know, that's what you don't really get that when it's 80 and sunny and no wind.
Right.
It's like,
Got flip-flops.
Oh, it's so nice out. Okay, cool.
I feel you. I think when a body of water is not fishing real normal and it's more of like a, you got to go to junk fishing, I feel like I excel at that. I love junk fishing, man, because that's probably my biggest downfall is I junk fish too much. You know, I'm just constantly moving between stuff. Yeah.
No, I just a lot of people do.
I sometimes switch up too soon, you know, type thing.
But
anytime it's been required, I've always, you know, that's when I have my best, you know, best times and best results is when it's
got to go with your gut. I've always, I when I've learned a competitive fishing, which I'm so glad I got into because I am super competitive human and my whole life with my business and everything.
I'm registering that Viking side of you. Yeah.
So it's just like, it's really helped me. Like when I first started, like when I would lose, I'd be destroyed. I'd be like bummed for days. Like it would ruin my, I mean, worse than when Nebraska would lose a football game, you know, like I don't even care anymore about that.
Dang.
You know? Oh yeah. Sucking. But it's like, I seriously couldn't function. My wife was like, what is wrong? It's just fishing. I'm just like, I just beat myself up. So it's like, as I've done this, it has helped me so well to lose with grace and to lose and embrace it and learn from it. And like, okay, well, what did I do wrong? What could I do again? You know, like, and that's the best thing in these tournaments. You're driving sometimes 8-9 hours. And if you lose, you're just constantly, you know, you can't beat yourself up too much, but I give myself maybe a few hours. Like, what am I going to do if I take some notes and then I move on, but I apply that to the next tournament. But
yeah,
tell you what, the competitive fishing has really, really helped me. It's helped me balance, you know?
You know, one of the things I learned even back in the boat days, with this is that it takes such a perfect storm of conditions to come together to formulate a win in our sport. There's a 100%. Reason why you watch on TV. It isn't just because it's at the elite level or it's at the Bass Pro Tour level. It's not because of that, but these are grown ass human beings that have, you know, hook scars all over them. These are some very, very rough and, you know, weathered individuals. There's a reason why they break down into tears when that time finally comes for them. You know, when you do math on it, hands down the greatest tournament angler that we've seen in our generation out there, maybe in the sports ever seen, is Van Dam, right? I mean, the numbers just don't lie in tournament angling. He's put it up. He's the GOAT. The GOAT fished for 30 years, 31 years competitively, under 30 major wins. I mean, what's that people, tell you? If the GOAT himself can't even average one a year,
that's what I tell these young guys that they're just devastating. They beat themselves up. Like, hey, like look at Rick Klun, look at Mike Iaconelli. You know, oh my God, he finished 145th last month. Right? It's that you're not going to win. You're going to catch a wave. You know, you're going to, and the really good anglers take advantage of that wave, whether it's they're in the right mental place at the time, they're super focused, they're dialed in, whatever. You got to ride that wave because the wave's going to crash. You know, every wave, you know, crests and crashes. You know, you ride the wave as long as you can, but know that it is going to crash and you just have to regroup, refocus. And you got to also remember too, your best moments of life are never in your past, and you're always going to have another great moment ahead of you. And it's a higher crest. You got to ride the wave. But these young kids, man, they just beat themselves up. And I was guilty of that too when I started. I thought I'm going to go out, I'm going to win everything. And then you just get humbled very fast, you know, especially in Nebraska where we talked earlier, like really, really good anglers here, really good people. Same with Iowa, you know, I thought, whatever.
Colorado's in the same bit, man. I'll go out
here. Got some good guys in Colorado. Yep, you do.
I get my butt handed to me constantly out here by these Colorado guys when we fish these home waters.
Yeah.
You know, my only chance is when we break out of these waters because we actually will fish Nebraska. There, like I feel
Red,
like
Red Willow. Yeah.
Yep. We go to Red Willow and compete a little bit. And there, I feel like it's like, okay, now I'm a little bit more in my element here. But you know, it's you said the wave, man, and this is something we were talking about off air, and I wanted to just kind of get your take, because you've known TC for a lot of years. Talk about a wave and momentum this last season. How about Tyler's run, man?
I have never seen someone. I've seen him do good in the past, obviously, but this year I don't know what it was. Obviously, you start with your mental, like, are you in a good place in life? How are you good? You're feeling good. The mojo, that's where you start, is your mental state. You know, if you're feeling really good, you got that going, great. You're going to do good. But this dude, like we were talking, he is so dialed in this year, or was, because now it's a new year. And I wish him, I hope he is, because it's really cool to see when a competitor and a friend is doing really well, you know, because you enjoy their successes with them. But he, like at Arkansas, when we were at dinner, he was just like, right? Oh yeah, no, you come fish with me. I'll still kick your ass. Yeah, no, come. No, I don't. Everybody come. You can all fish right by me, and I will still kick your ass, and I will still win. And I was like, no, dude, because I know you will, because I can feel your energy right now, and ain't nothing stopping you, and you're on a freaking mission, man. I don't know what the hell's going on. I don't know if it's your trucker diet or what, but bottle that shit up. I don't know if I can cuss. I think I can.
Yeah, you can. You're fine.
Bottle that shit up and save it for next year, or sell me some, and I will buy some. But right? No, he was – I mean, dude, I love him, man, and I am so happy for him. And dude, he was just at another level this year. And I told him, dude, get in the boats right now, because you seriously. No, I'm serious. I said, dude, you are there. Like, if you have got to figure out the formula for your mental and your talent and your physical and all that, man, get in the boats, because you could seriously do something, you know.
You know what stamped it home for me is that, like we talk about our sport, and I've been around this thing a while, and I've seen, you know, the momentums, the shifts, the different things. Tyler was playing at a different level, and the part that just purely stamped it home, because of course in the back of my head I'm like, what is it? Is his map study? Is it, you know, what is it? Did he about these locations we were going to? So here we are. At the series championship down in Arkansas there, we all collectively, the few of us that went down there, were having dinner, and we all collectively voted, let's turn it from a 3-day into a 2-day. Right. Mm-hmm. So, because it was like, there's no reason to stretch this thing out. Tyler was in a commanding position. Stoney was making a run at him for sure.
He was, but I was too, but it's just like, I'm like, eh. I don't know if I can handle another day in that swamp, but
right. So we all vote to turn it into a 2-day. And then I don't know who it was at the table, but someone brings up Bussy Break. Mm-hmm. And we all start looking at it on our phones, and we're like, bro, there's like double digit fish in this water.
There's some good ones in there.
MLF went there. And then we look at the map, and we're like, dude, it's only 30 minutes away from us.
It's a half hour away, I know.
Yeah. So we all vote that for Sunday, we're going to go there, and we're just going to have a friendly, you know, impromptu. So keep in mind, nobody knew we were going there until Friday night. We got there Saturday. We all agreed, $25. We're just going to do it in Facebook Messenger, you know.
Yeah, right.
It took Tyler...
Midway USA brand product designers have one straightforward goal: develop high quality, technically sound products and deliver them to customers at reasonable prices. If you are immersed in the shooting sports industry and pay close attention to every single detail, you know our products are built right and stand up to everyday use. Who has shooting mats and range bag systems to hunting clothing and just about everything for the outdoors? Log on and shop 24/7 with super fast shipping. MidwayUSA.com. The 1911 is one of the most iconic firearms in history. Designed by John Browning, the 1911 was the standard issue sidearm of the U.S. military from 1911 to 1985. While Colt produced the original, almost every major firearm company has produced its own version. It's wildly revered for its reliability, crisp trigger, and is still a favorite for all types of shooters. Whether you're looking to buy or build a 1911 and just about everything for guns, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
10 minutes to get to his location, and the god dang messenger starts blowing up.
I know.
He just starts jacking him.
I know.
And I'm like, okay, he had no map study. He had no idea we were going here.
It's in the zone.
He gets in there, and and then Stoney, of course, actually was right there with him, for
quite a
while.
Yeah, I just turned my phone off. Because I had to head back, and I was just like, I was like, hey, a good opportunity for me. And I'm seeing it, and my phone's going ding, and that's Tyler. I'm just like, okay, you know what? I'm just turning it. You're making me jealous. Yeah, I'm turning that off. But no, confidence. That is a lot of it too. If everything's in place, it's if you're confident and you positively think it will happen, and that comes with confidence, it's gonna happen. And he was just. You can just see it in his eyes. It's like, Andy, you can just go home. Don't even.
It's a race. It was a race for second, right?
That's really what it
boiled down to.
It really was. And I Stoney took me on the second day. I just couldn't get it. I mean, I was getting bites, man, but it was hard. I just had that's just the alligator thing in the back of my head.
And then, I finally saw one at Bussy. Actually, I'd come right around the corner. About an 8-footer.
Okay.
And
crazy.
They're super skittish. He took off. I literally, you'll laugh at this, but so I didn't have anything to open carry with, right? When I went
right,
down
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah.
But I literally stopped.
Didn't you buy the machete?
I stopped at Walmart. Josh and I were walking through Walmart, and I'm like, there we go. That's a gator.
That's what I need.
Right there.
Yeah, boom.
So, yeah. Well,
When I got off the water on Friday, I'm pulling out, and I'm parked in that little lake. I forget what it was called, but that little ramp there that we were at on Friday morning.
Right, right.
There's a little handicap. You can barely see it as the paint's disappearing, but I was parked on it, and this older couple, they were probably like 80, and their boat was like, they bought it new, 80 years ago. It was so old, and it was an older couple. They're like 70 or 80, and they get out. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, because they had a handicap sticker. I'll move, so I moved, and I'm kind of watching them all. The wife can barely watch. She goes, I'll spill a shotgun, and they're going to the boat. I was like, oh, is that for the alligator? And I'm like, huh? I can't hear you. I'm like, is that for the alligators? And she's like, no, it's for the squirrels. It's like, okay. Looks like you're getting dinner, I guess.
You use a machete for the gators.
I'd probably use a shotgun, but yeah. Yeah, no, that was pretty funny. I'm like, okay, have a good squirrel stew tonight, I guess.
What squirrel season was on, and they were running.
That's what they were doing. Yeah,
they were running the shorelines. There was a few of them out
shooting squirrels out of trees,
scraping them out of the swamp, taking them out.
That's I guess that's Arkansas for you,
bro. I loved. That's one of the things cool about the All American is when we go around to these different places.
Oh yeah,
Some of them are a little offbeat. Some of them a little more high profile. But you really do get a chance to see the heartbeat of America, man. And I love it. It's people have always been super cool.
Oh,
I still have my big Brutus hat from Mine Lands. I picked up one of the big Brutus, the big
the big crane. Claw thing. Yeah,
yeah, got that. Got me a hat. Remember that? That whole deal.
I'm bummed I missed that one. I just sometimes it sticks in our schedule conflicts. So
I
mean, if it all lays out perfectly, I can do every single one. But our championship was the same weekend as that one, so I could obviously do that. But yeah,
for sure. Well, that's awesome stuff, man. And where did you and I originally, was it Okoboji where we first met?
So I think I met you
I think it was.
I met you at the All-American the year before, but just very, very briefly. I don't even think.
Right.
I may have said, hey, what's up? I'm Andy, but you were filming. It was so busy. But yeah, so when it was at Okoboji on practice day, I don't know if it was on Thursday or something. Randy, I knew who you were. Obviously, you didn't know who I really was, but I obviously knew who you were from the All American and what you're doing, the podcast and all that. So, yeah, that's when we chat a little bit. I've learned a little bit about you. You learned a little bit about me. And yeah.
Dude, and I said this before introducing you in, and just for, you know why I'm saying this for sure. you are an amazing human being, man. And the,
Thanks, the support
that you give the kayak community and other sections of the community is just know how important it is and how much it's loved and appreciated.
Thank you.
Because that's, I mean, it's dudes like you, man, that keep our sport and that keep, quite frankly, my sanity and my trust in humanity alone, that we're going to be all right. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, we'll get there. You know?
I'm good at breaking up the monotony. That's for sure. I'm having a good time with it. You know, I'm finally in a place in life where I can do it more and go on these adventures and kind of help, you know, help when I can, and help people that are struggling, help these young kids, you know, navigate life, you know, because, you know, life is not easy these days, you know, with all the technology, and the younger generation just didn't have it like we had it, you know. And it's,
I was going to say, it's a different,
I'm like,
different landscape.
Put the phone down. It's dumbing you up. And my they're like, what do you mean? I'm like, it's making you dumb. Seriously. How long have you been on your phone? Are you even thinking? What are you doing? You know, so it's like, I even try to do that now because I get caught in it. You know, I'm like, I put that damn phone away. I'm going to read a book, or I'm going to listen to some music and do something else so I can think. Because when you're on your phone watching all this stuff, you're really not thinking. You're dumbing yourself down. Like these kids these days, man, they got it hard, you know. And it's just like, I'm trying to help them navigate life, and, you know, along with my kids too. But still, I think that's important, you know, to have somebody that just is kind of there, that, you know, I'm always there to help, you know, if you need a ride, flat tire, if you ran out of money, you know, anything like that, man. Just always know that I'm available at any of these tournaments if you ever need help with anything. Honestly, if you need like a 10-minute therapy session, I'd be more than happy to talk to you about anything and help you through that or whatever, man. But no, I really appreciate the kind words, man. It's just, that means a lot. So I appreciate that.
Of course, man. Of course. I mean, it's been for me coming in and learning the community, learning the series. I fell in love with the All-American the first season I fished it. I didn't get a chance to fish as many as I wanted. But I did able to get there in enough for AOI and get the championship in, when we went to lacrosse and so forth, yeah. You know, and danced up there. That was a fantastic deal. Just every one of these events, you know, that we go to, there's just such cool stories that come out of each one of the All-American events. And it's always related around interaction with other anglers. You know, it's a cool story that I've had with, you know, meeting somebody or hearing this or seeing that. So hopefully some of the stuff we spoke about before we got on air, hopefully you and I can figure out some stuff, because there's some cool ideas that we're tossing around here. So
for sure.
We'll see where that goes.
No. But, yeah. So yeah, back to the back. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, you I just say back. No, back to the stories. You're totally right. Like I write a blog or a recap after every tournament, man. Some of my best stories and recaps are just my experiences on the All-American stuff. You know, I've had some good ones. I've had some bad ones. I had a really bad one at lacrosse. If you read that one last year, you know, you can go back on my Facebook and look it up. It was just, I got approached by a homeless guy that was obviously off his medication. And
I do remember this.
Yeah. So I've had some really good experiences and some not so good experiences, but everyone is an experience and everyone is a life lesson. You know, I learned a lot from that experience, because back again to the balance, you know, I would have snapped 5 years ago and I'd probably be in jail, you know. But that really needed to happen to me at the time to realize, is it really worth it? Is it, you know? And then like Okoboji, I had a great story, because this little dude just reminded me so much of me when I was that age. And it's like, that is me. Like, you know, 40 years ago, and he had this little tackle. He had, you know, he's doing, his mom wasn't paying attention. He's casting out there. And I'm like, I'm thinking, oh God, he's not going to catch anything. You know, I feel horrible. Like, I really want to, hey dude, top of my kayak, let's go to this dock. You want to catch some fish? But in this time of day, you can't do that, you know. But
I gave
him some lures, and the mom's like, thank you so much. And I was like, yeah, you know, anytime. So yeah, it's just like every, you know, it's not all about the fishing, you know, it's about the adventure. It's about who you touch in life and all that stuff. You know, it's all one thing. But yeah, no, dude, the stories,
at the end of the day, that's growing the sport. You know, Eric Ali, Eric Ali of Eagle Claw and I spoke about this, and he really brought this into light, really opened my eyes to it, to this aspect. Is we can all talk about growing tournament fishing and increasing this. We can say that's growing the sport because it kind of is, but if you truly want to impact our sport, it's in the youth, man. It's in those kids. It's introducing 100%. Kids just not to tournament fishing, but to the outdoors and just fishing. Show outdoors. Them other things. Yep. Absolutely.
And their phone. And Marty is really good at that. We have a lot of youth events in Nebraska. Oh yeah, man. He's bless his heart. I mean, he's the man. I mean, he started it. I was looking at, I was like 15 years ago, he was kayak. I did Heroes on the Water with him. And we brought a vet out to my lake, and I took the vet in the boat before Marty got out here, and he got out here. He's like, get out of the boat. And I'm just like, you know, he put the vet in the kayak, you know, and I was like, I'm not getting one of those things. You know, I was in my boat. So I was like, kayak, are you kidding me? And granted, this is like 15 years ago, you know. There was no kayaks around. I mean, there was no kayaks here. It was just, it was canoes or boats or little two-man bass boats, you know. So, it's like Marty is like, he deserves a lot of credit for getting kayak fishing where it is today, competitively, leisurely, everything. And his main focus is getting the youth to get involved. And that is our future.
And he'll tell you it's, you know, he's just been doing it there in the Midwest, you know, and there. No, dude, his influence
reaches everywhere
across this nation.
It reaches everywhere.
Marty is absolutely, you know, we're better off, and we have a sport where it's at today greatly because of contributions that he's made to our sport, you know, with the youth, you know. And how cool is that on the Brady stores? That Brady's a product of Kayak Jack's youth stuff.
Yeah. 100%.
Now he's a national freaking champion. That's crazy, man. Awesome.
So I forgot to say, back at the Midwest Kayak Fishing Series in 2018, when it turned all bass, our first tournament was in Kansas at, I forget where it was. Anyways, a lake in Kansas by Cherryville, Kansas, whatever lake that is. I'm forgetting. But Brady, David Cruz was there. He doesn't even really fish anymore. Like some of these really old like guys that don't even do it anymore. But Brady was there, and I like looked at my friend Kevin Workman. I'm like, whose kid is this? He was like 12. And he's like, has rod socks on his rods, and he's tying all this stuff. I'm like, and Kevin laughed. He's like, oh, that's just Brady. We bring him along. The mom lets us drive him, and we're all kind of his dad. You know, we're all kind of helping him. And dude goes out and crushes it. And he's like 12, and it's just like, and then I'm like, every time he has a beer, I'm like, are you seriously old enough to drink yet? I think he finally is. So that's good. But
he's 22.
But that dude is, exactly. And that's for Marty, you know, a small town kid just catching the wave and getting into. Now look at him. He's going to go fish the worlds. That's freaking crazy. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, man. And I'll tell you, after spending a time of interviewing him there as well, it's not just that he's a world-class angler. He's a world-class dude, man.
He's a good kid.
He's so far ahead of most guys that are 20, 30 years older than him. Oh. 100%. When it comes to what he prioritizes in life, man, it was, like Marty, he's one of those guys that when you hang out with him, they make you want to be better. Right. It's like, you know, I like the way you're doing this, and I need to, there's some areas I could be better at. And I like hanging out with those people because they keep us evolving a little bit. Right.
Oh yeah. I've had the opportunity to fish right by Brady at one tournament at Sherman probably 3 years ago. Cause we all raced to the spot. We all agreed it was Josh Workman and me and Brady. And I think I could have probably beat him. Brady's pretty fast though. But I probably could have beat him there, but we all just got, hey, we'll share the spot. Well, it was a pleasure watching this kid fish because he was kicking my ass, and he was but it was so funny. Cause he would get so like, he'd miss a fish. He'd slam his rod down. And I'm like, Brady, Brady, calm down, man. It's okay.
Woosa, you know,
dude, relax, man. He's just like slamming it. So I think that he doesn't, I don't think he does. I think he's learned to just like take a deep breath and not slam poles and, you know, stuff, but he kicked my ass. I'm just like, I was like, okay, dude, what freaking color are you using? What size weight? and give me one because I'm starting to piss me off. You know, but no, totally good kid.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good stuff, man. Well, listen, Andy, I can't thank you enough, brother, for coming by here. This is going to be, you know, definitely not the last time, I'm sure.
Yeah, man.
That we'll have you on Doc Talk here. And I can't wait to, what's it looking like for you on All American this year? How many of the events you think you can be able to make?
I'm going to try to make them all. Actually, I just have to kind of see that our stick schedule finally just came out. So nice. I need to go home and on my pad of paper and I draw lines with a ruler and I draw the dates in lines with my pencil.
They have this thing called Excel. I don't know if you've ever seen it.
Never even heard of it. So I will write on this big piece of paper with all lines of seven slots for the days. And I will mark so I can just see, and I post it on my studio wall with duct tape. And then I can kind of see,
but yeah, I'm going to get you a kayak sticker of an abacus and we're going to put that on the side. Yeah.
Sure. I love it. Yeah. I love it. No, I am definitely part of the resistance. The only reason why I have a smartphone is for stuff like this and Tourney X. I mean, if I didn't, I'd still have a freaking flip phone and I'd still be using my camera to take pictures of my fish, you know, but
that's awesome.
Yeah. So I'm the plan is to do every sticks and every All American, but I'm sure there's going to be a conflict here and there. And obviously sticks take precedent over All American just because that's my, you know, it's the Nebraska thing.
That's home. Yeah.
It's home. 100%. So, but hopefully, and our directors do a really good job because they know how much the All American means to me and it means to a lot of us in the Midwest. So they try not to overlap, you know, and they do a really good job with that, but there's only so much they can do. There's always maybe one. Last year I got really lucky because there was only one tournament that there was a conflict. So,
Right here in Colorado, the Colorado Kayak Bassmasters that James Strawbridge runs, he purposely held tight until he could kind of see some of the other series with the schedules that were coming out so that he did the same thing. He wants Colorado guys to have a chance to fish the All-American stuff.
Right.
And so he basically, you know, tried to do his best to maneuver that schedule around. To position it, you know, so it's good stuff.
What are the thoughts of moving forward to move an event or two more west? So Colorado has more of an advantage or maybe that'll evolve in time. I know Colorado has some, you know, we have McConaughey, you know, with good smallmouth. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know if Josh has ever thought about that to try and help Dakota even.
I can tell you in the state of Colorado to be able to put on a national event. One of our clubs in this state is very, very big, and it's not uncommon that they put 50 to 60 anglers on the water.
Really?
And they will tell you that that's a lot of anglers to put on any of our bodies of water. Now we have the square footage. We have the square footage, like you say in Pueblo or Horsetooth.
Right.
The problem is there's like 5-6 areas that are going to produce. Yeah. Right. It's just such a pressured system out here. All man-made, you know, waters.
Unless
I mean, there is the opportunity that should, you know, a really wet spring and we see a big runoff and, you know, we get some water pushing up, then, you know, these places can open up a little bit. But hands down, probably our most productive fishery in the state's Pueblo Reservoir. Right. You can, there's a lot of different ways to fish that one. You can get greens and browns there, you know.
Now, is that by Manitou or Colorado Springs? Where's that
further at? Further south in the Springs. That's the one I was telling you. It's like 2.5 hours from the metro area here.
Okay. At least for me. Well, like 6 hours then with traffic there, because traffic there sucks.
Right? If you're going to drive through Denver, I do it.
Leave at 2 in the morning.
Exactly. I do. Yeah. I leave at 4 in the morning.
Oh, dude.
So that I can get through the traffic. And even then, it's starting to jam brutal. Up.
No, I had to do a job at the old airport. Stapleton.
Stapleton.
Yep. So I drove down and did a job for my clients. They built a house there. And literally, I stayed at a hotel, like, seriously, not even a mile away. And it literally took me like an hour to get there, a mile. Yeah. And I get there and every morning, the contractor's already there. And then I noticed he'd leave at about like 1 or 2 in the afternoon. So a couple of days of this, and I was like, okay, so what time do you get here? He goes, I leave my house at 2:30 in the morning. I get here at 3. I get everything done. I know exactly what everyone's doing. Once everyone's going, I leave and I go home and I avoid all the traffic. I'm just like, crazy.
One of the best memes I saw was this picture of jammed up traffic, and it said, it's official. Denver, Colorado is officially 1 hour from Denver, Colorado.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's like, that's our traffic, man.
Although I will say you get some good smells when you're waiting for the traffic to move. in the downtown area.
right. I suppose if you like that sort of thing, right?
Yeah, whatever.
The
devil's lettuce. I call it hippie lettuce.
right. Well, good stuff, man. Well, I'm stoked to catch up with you, grab some dinner when we're out there. I've kind of made the decision. I won't be competing in any of the All-American stuff, but I will be fishing. If there's a local club, event that's going on Saturday, I'll probably jump in that one. Probably.
Well, good. Because
I want to stay frosty with the stuff. Right. But yeah. I do want us to be able to stay out there and get some good shots of other anglers, and it'll do me. I mean, I have no intention of retiring from competing. So yeah, I'll go out, and as long as I'm not in anybody's way, I'll, you know, be out there and doing what I'm doing.
That's cool. Definitely. And there'll be a lot of double dipping. Yep. A lot of opportunities. I think a lot of the circuits hop in. There's always,
I was going to say, it's been a big part of what Josh, Troy, and I have been working on behind the scenes, is trying to coordinate with the local clubs because we want them to, you know, come in
and have what we do. Yeah.
Have the advantage of using our awards ceremony, you know, set up. They can use, you know, the facility that we arrange, you know, and in turn, all we ask is just, hey man, promote it out there, you know, and help us, you know, pick up our, you know, our entries as well. And it's a cool opportunity for everybody.
That's awesome. Yeah. It's just hard. Yeah. Sometimes it's hard for me to just, my biggest challenge is the technology, obviously. So the submitting, and then when you have to do two tournaments, and then, you know, oh God, it's just, so that's kind of why I don't do it sometimes, is because it's so much easier to have one. And
it would be cool to be able to submit and then select.
Right. Well,
Dwayne
Wally watching? help a man out here. Just make it easy. Just press one button, submit all.
By the time this airs, because we're recording, by the time this airs, Dwayne will have already been on the podcast, because we've got him lined up for an interview as well. Okay. He's coming. Okay. So yeah.
Well, no, so he'll mention it to him that, hey, this one guy from Nebraska is like, you can make anything easier, like all this triple, double submitting. Just like have it. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure you could figure it out.
Big buttons on the phone.
No, I'm good. I've saw my vision. I'm good. I mean, like I said, I do have to put my glasses on to tie in a size 25 nymph, but other than that, and even some of these ice lures I use, man, holy cow, man, they're just like, and it's at night, and like, I'm still kind of resisting. I can see really good about a foot out, but when it gets here, and see, I'm an artist too, so I do a lot of fine artwork, and I got to put them on when I'm doing like the real detail stuff. But it's just something else you got to deal with on the water, you know, like, oh no, where are my glasses?
So I started needing readers when I was back in the boat days. And one of the first big interviews that I had the opportunity to do, Jody Queen came on the True Patriot Outfitters podcast. And I always, you know, why I follow Jody, you know, throughout and watching, I saw his glasses, dude, these things, I've tried the sunglasses with bifocals in them.
I've tried
other options. They're pointless first thing in the morning when it's still like low to no light.
Right.
So this right here, man, these things come apart. Oh,
interesting. Okay.
Dude.
Oh, cool.
They sit right here.
Nice.
And I can actually put them on. I can't with my headset on, but I can put them on over my sunglasses. Just Jody does. You have these like two layers of glasses then, but I got my sunglasses on and then I got my readers right here. So I can sit there and tie fluorocarbon and I channel my inner Jody. That's it. That's what I do there.
I'm close. I'm so close to doing that, but I can still manage. So
I've had too many years on the PCs, man. That's what did it for me. That's what these are for.
Yeah,
these actually block. These are made for, you know, a lot of hours behind the PC. Okay. Yeah.
Well, I don't have that problem, obviously, because I don't like computers.
Yeah, you don't get bad eyesight using counting with beads.
No, my ears are a different story. You know, shooting shotguns and loud music, and I was in bands. You know, my whole life I was a percussionist, so I always got stuck on stage right in front of the monitors. So it's just like you got all that coming at you. You got,
good stuff.
I grew up with the Walkman, so that damaged my ears.
right. That thing was awesome. My first, see, we could go on and on. My first cassette tape was a Thriller, Michael Jackson.
Oh, nice.
I rocked out.
Mine was the Doors, Soft Parade.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Good stuff.
I had an older brother and sister, so I got turned on to really good music. So that's good.
Got that influence, right?
Yep.
Well, listen, man, I can't thank you enough again for taking time out of your day, coming by here, chatting with us, sharing some cool stories. I know we could go on like this forever, but
we'll go ahead and
wrap this up. You hang tight for me after I roll this thing out of here. You and I can chat offline. But again, brother, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, man. I really appreciate it.
Bet here, folks. Make sure to smash that subscribe button. That's a big, big help for us here at the Doc Talk. Helps give more exposure to the series sponsors and the anglers, of course, and their sponsors that are out there. So hit that follow, hit that subscribe. As always, guys and gals, tie lines, be safe.
I'm Will Cooper, host of HuntStand's Make Your Mark podcast. For even more content, be sure to watch the original films from HuntStand Presents on the Waypoint TV channel every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern. Visit waypointtv.com to learn more.
A life that has the stories to back it. A life to be proud of. It's a Winchester life.
Yeah, baby. 6'8 Western. Oh, mule deer, baby, right there.
Tune in every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV.